Welcome to the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin. Joining me is Dr. Amir Fuchs, an Israeli expert on law and democracy, who is affiliated with the Israel Democracy Institute. Dr. Fuchs, the High Court of Justice in Israel is being asked to decide whether caretaker Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who is about to go on trial for alleged corruption, should be allowed to lead a new government, and whether the coalition agreement behind that government should be considered legal. Supporters of Netanyahu and the coalition agreement say either that the court does not have the right to interfere or that it would be unwise to do so. And this would just be the beginning of a slippery slope. What do you think?
Well, this is a really big question. I'll try to distinguish between what is right and what is wise. And first, I have to say the first question about, is it allowed for a prime minister to form a government when he has alleged corruption allegations? He has an indictment against him. Is it legal? And it's not a simple question as some people try to say. And of course, the court has the authority to do it. The court in Israel has a very broad authority to challenge the legality of every public official. They can, for example, say whether it is reasonable from the prime minister himself to accept the role, and also is it reasonable for the Knesset members to appoint him. So it is a legal question. I agree that there is a political question. Is it wise for the Supreme Court to intervene there? And I agree with some people who say it might be very dangerous. But I think and I hope that the Supreme Court will only take into considerations only the legal aspects. But they are human. So I'm sure that underneath the legal arguments, they will also take into account the political or the issues of, is it wise or is it good for the Supreme Court to intervene in such a dangerous question?
You are listening to Dr. Amir Fuchs, an Israeli expert on law and democracy who is affiliated with the Israel Democracy Institute. Existing law says that people under indictment cannot serve in any public capacity. For example, a government minister would have to resign. Yet the same law says a prime minister who is indicted can continue to serve unless there is a conviction and all avenues of appeal have been exhausted. Why the discrepancy?
Well, I'll have to disagree on the fact that it is very clear that the prime minister who is indicted can continue to serve. What is written in the law is that when there is a final conviction, he has to resign or he ceases to become the prime minister. It is not clear what happens when there is an indictment. Of course, it is a very legitimate interpretation of the law that when there is an indictment, he doesn't have to resign. But there is also a legitimate interpretation that he does when it's a very grave accusation. And the accusation was not on something long ago in the past, but when he was a prime minister. And you have to understand that also, according to ministers, the law only says that they have to resign when they are convicted. And still, the Supreme Court, knowing that this is the law about convictions, says, well, this is only about convictions. About indictment, it depends on the gravity of the indictment and on what charges. So I don't agree that it is very simple. And the Supreme Court will have to decide if the distinction between prime minister and minister, is there a distinction? And what is the excuse? And I can't find excuses for that. And because a prime minister, when a prime minister resigns, then the whole government collapses. It's different than ministers. So again, it's a legitimate position to say, well, if a prime minister, when he resigns, it's a different outcome. But still, we have to understand that this situation is different because this is not an acting prime minister in his term, after 2 years or 3 years. This is a prime minister who is just forming a government. So it's a different question, and it's not necessarily the same if it was after 2 years. And also, of course, we have to understand that in a way, some people say, if a prime minister cannot act, then of course a prime minister cannot act. If the justification was about how the people sees the government and what does it reflect on the fight against corruption. And also there is a conflict of interest. The prime minister has a lot of power with the about appointing the public officials who are the people who indict him, and the attorney general and the public prosecutor. So this is a big problem of conflict of interest, and I think it is a consideration that the court has to take into consideration.
Dr. Amir Fuchs, thank you for joining me at the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin.